The big kids, God's children. Are we ready? All right, we're ready now. So I'm not done with you all, but now we got to make sure that we got to get them too. Because guess what, you all? They try to keep up with the Joneses too. Older folks, they still do the same things that the younger folks do. And so, and I'm not talking about them, but I'm just saying in general. And so I want us to be mindful of these things. That being said, our sermon text for today is this. And I would like for us to stand, if you're physically able to, as we just read the scripture and have a quick prayer. It's coming from 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. It says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others, who will be able to teach others also. Share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the word that you've given us thus far, oh God. We thank you for the real connections that you give. Now that we ask that you just come into our hearts, oh God, and teach us what it truly means to follow you, oh God, since you are the one who enlisted us into this army. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So today, I want to talk to all of us about being a soldier in God's army. Being a soldier in God's army. Somebody spoke earlier about how there was a loved one who's going off to boot camp. How many of y'all know that, first of all, in order to be in God's army, you had to first enlist in the army? You got to first enlist. You can't just be in this army without an enlistment. Amen? Yeah. Now, as a soldier, I believe that we have great respect for those who have defended this country. Amen? Now, some of us actually appreciate those who have died in war Memorial Day. We don't just use that as an opportunity, as a day off and barbecue. We actually honor those who have went before us, particularly in the Civil War. Now, many of us may not know that, but that's what Memorial Day is all about. It's not just about the food, family, and barbecue, right? It's also about honoring those who have gone before us to help free this country. But how many of you realize that it also takes a great deal of discipline in order to be a soldier, particularly if you want to be a soldier for Jesus Christ? Now, soldiers, in essence, will spend a great deal of time and preparation before they even get their orders to protect their country. In other words, as a Christian, before God sends you out to do anything, he's got to make sure he instructs you, because you just can't go out there and do what you want to do when you want to do it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So today, when we look at this particular passage, Paul is urging Timothy, look, I need you to be a good Christian soldier. I'm so glad of that, the passage of scripture, that when Paul encouraged Timothy not to let anybody despise his youth. I know a lot of times we like to use that as the scripture to support establishing a youth ministry, but I love what's being said. Young people, don't let anybody despise who you are just because you're not as old as they are. When you carry yourself and conduct yourself in a manner that's worthy of your calling, which God is going to instill on you, then guess what? You will gain the respect of those who are much older. And likewise, they can say unto you, like he said unto Timothy, let no one despise how old you are. I want us to understand that. Now, the only way that you're going to be able to get into this particular army is if you are born again. Remember when Nicodemus was told that unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. And so that being said, I want us to move forward and look at this introduction. Now, first of all, being a soldier is going to require a great deal of focus. It's going to require focus. Now, in this focus, it's very important that as soldiers in God's army, we avoid distractions. How many of you know it's very easy to get distracted? Yeah, it's very, very easy to get distracted. So we have to do what's necessary to avoid, you know, those distractions. Here's one that I like. Being a soldier requires a great deal of obedience. It requires obedience. Somebody say obedience. I want to get in your spirit. Obedience. Obedience. Just say obedience. Amen. Amen. So we have to follow God's orders. And when we follow God's orders, we are ultimately ensured that we're going to be victorious because we were obedient. Last but not least, being a soldier is going to require perseverance. It's going to require perseverance. And so soldiers fight because we are chosen. And I want to open it up some as we continue on. Soldiers fight because we are chosen. First things first. Now, I'm talking about a good soldier, not just any soldier. Because you're going to find some soldiers in the Army, they end up getting kicked out of the Army because they wasn't good soldiers. They end up getting dishonorable discharge because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. They end up with all kinds of citations and things that are against them because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. So what I'm talking about today is a good soldier. Amen? Now, a good soldier must stay focused on God in order to win the battles. A good soldier must stay focused on God in order to win the battle. I was thinking about, man, what does that really mean to stay focused on God? How many of you have ever been through situations in your life where it seems as if your circumstance overwhelmed you to the point where you begin not to trust God anymore? You begin to think, Lord, I don't know about this one. You begin to think, Lord, it just seems like every time I take two steps forward, I end up getting knocked three steps back. It seems to me like, Lord, I'm trying to walk this walk with you, but it seems like I'm the only one left. Anybody ever felt that way? Where you feel like you're the only one in this battle. You feel like you're the only one out there on the battlefield. You feel like nobody else is out there actually walking in this war with you. Then I thought about Elijah, and I thought about all the experiences that Elijah had, and I thought about how you would think that at this point in his life, at that time, he would have had this unshakable faith. We're talking about the same Elijah who, when he asked God for the rain to stop, remember, it stopped. Not just for 1 year, but for 3 years. We're talking about the same Elijah who was fed by the old dirty ravens. We're talking about the same Elijah who witnessed a widow's son being resurrected. We're talking about the same Elijah that beat the prophets of Baal by calling down fire from heaven. We're talking about that Elijah. We're talking about the Elijah that when he got into it with Baal and their other worshipers, he was so scared for his life because the king and his wife Jezebel said, guess what, we're going to get him. And so because of his experiences, because he lost kind of focus of what was going on, he went and ran off into the wilderness. And when he found himself running off to the wilderness, he got to a place where he was like, guess what, Lord, it just seemed like I'm out here all by myself. Is there anybody else that's on this battlefield with me? See, that's the kind of mindset that we take on when we begin to lose our focus. Now, instead of worrying about who else is on the battlefield, guess what? I just need to do my job. When we're on the battlefield, I have to trust that you're going to do your part, and you're going to do your part so I can focus on doing my part. And together, we can gain victory. But if I'm spending all my time worried about what you are doing and what you are not doing, how am I going to be ensured victory? I want us to really, really take this into consideration. A good soldier, we got to stay focused. Every time that you have something going on in your life, when you begin to look the other way, you don't start feeling joy until you get your mind right back on God. Every time you have the mindset of Peter, when he got out and began to walk toward Christ, but then to look down because he wasn't focused on Christ, what happened? He began to sink. So if we look at Peter and what he did when he was walking, and like he was doing fine until he started looking at his own abilities and start losing focus on what he was ultimately doing, then that's when everything went south. And the same thing happens in our lives if we're not careful. We must avoid distractions and remain committed to God and his will for our lives. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. I'm so concerned about what God is doing, I don't care what they got going on over here. When I know that I'm fighting this battle and I'm on God's side, then guess what? What you do doesn't even matter to me anymore. I cannot be consumed with all this stuff anymore. I have to tell people, stop calling me with all your stuff because I'm giving you what Christ wants for you, but yet you don't want to hear it. So guess what? Until you get to the same place that I am with faith in God, matter of fact, until you enlist in the army, then you come back and see me later. But right now I'm going to deal with the soldier that's on the battlefield with me. I got to concern myself with those who are right here because they're the ones that's going to help me fight. They're the ones that are out here. We took the same oath. See, they don't understand that just yet. And what we as soldiers have to do is recognize that they're not there just yet. So why am I trying to talk to my unsaved or unbelievers as friends and family when they hadn't even accepted who God is and for what and what he is? Matter of fact, they're not even on the same team. I still love them. I'm still going to minister to them. I'm still going to care for them. But I had to not concern myself with all those other things and focus on what God has called me to do. Now, Satan is going to inflict battles to discourage and distract soldiers. You must fight to overcome these setbacks. For me, it was a setback. It took enough to just get here this morning. It took a whole lot. And this is not a grandiose or a braggadocious kind of statement. I'm just telling you, sometimes you go through things and it's hard to even get up and do what God has called you to do. Sometimes you're trying to live for God and it's like, man, I'm sick of this. Why me? Why do I got to keep going through these things, Lord? And Satan, he would do all kind of stuff. Satan gives me a sinus infection and tells me I'm going to make this big old lump on the side of your neck right here. So you can't even walk. You can't have no balance. You're tired. You're sweating. I'm hot. Everybody looking at me funny. But I'm still going to press on and do what God has called me to do. You got to do the same thing. You got to say, you know what, man? Forget the enemy. Because I know what he's trying to do. We're going to talk about weapons later on. But I know the enemy's tactics. The enemy wants to do everything he can to get you off the battlefield. He ain't going to try to just kill you right off the bat. Because if he kills you, see, okay, so let me tell you. In the military, back in the day, they used to use AK-47s. Y'all heard of that rifle. The AK-47 wasn't really designed to kill you. It was designed to get you so when that bullet can hit you, it can be fragmented all throughout your body. It wasn't designed to kill you. And because we as good soldiers don't want to leave our soldiers behind, what do? We go and grab that person. So now instead of killing one individual, I can get three of you all off the battlefield now. And that's what the enemy does. He does those kinds of things. So instead of just losing one, I'm going to get all three of you. I was watching Trolls this morning, and it was like, no, nah, I want to get all you. Only my kid, they know it because they watch it all the time. And so it was a little cartoon where they were trying to come get all the little trolls, but they was like, no, nah, I want to get them all gathered in one place so I can get them all. I'm not going to just get one at a time. I'm going to get all of them. I'm going to get all you off the battlefield. I mean, that's what the enemy wants. That's what the enemy wants. That's why that one guy said, you know what? You're not getting all of us. I'm going to sacrifice my life for everybody. If I got to lay down on this grenade, then guess what? That's what I'm going to do. Because I know now the Lord still has you to keep pressing on. But if I let this thing blow us all up, the enemy has won. That's why we have to be and say, look, it is better if it is God's will to suffer. How many of you know that it's good to suffer for righteousness' sakes? It's good that when you preach the gospel and people don't want to hear it, you know, you can walk away saying, you know what, Lord, I still preach the gospel to them. Right. It's good when they talk about you behind your back, but you can say, Lord, I'm still doing what I was supposed to do. Right. It's good when you can still persevere through anything that you're going through, but yet God can still do it because it's God's will. We don't have to act like Paul and say, well, Lord, if you removed it. No, God can work maybe with this thing in my side because it's his will. And I'm going, look, if I got to suffer, it's better than doing evil stuff. I'm not going to be out there talking about my brothers and sisters on the battlefield with me. I'm going to try to lift you up on the battlefield. I'm going to try to help you become a better soldier on the battlefield. Why? Because you got to watch my back. So if I'm sitting there talking about you, how are you going to be better equipped to help me? It may sound selfish, but it's real. Because that's what we're here for, to help one another. Yeah, I'll suffer. If it's for righteousness' sakes. But unfortunately, some of the battles are self-inflicted and as a result of personal choices that we made that were very, very poor. Now, I don't have to identify everything that we've done in our lives that were wrong because we can all acknowledge that. Many of us looking down, they don't even look at me right now because you're thinking in your mind of something that you may have done that made you say, well, you know what, he may have a point there. But God is so good in his mercy and his grace. He allows us to say, you know what, forget about those things. I still got you. Don't even worry. I know you may have been there. Yeah, we all didn't make the best decision that we could have made when we made those decisions, but yet we're still here. That's why I'm so glad that we serve a God like this. Amen. I'm so glad that we serve, but there are still conditions though. So do we understand that in order to be a good soldier, you have to be focused? How many of you are focused this morning? How many of you are focused? Yeah. You focus the camera. If it's not clear, what do you have to do? You got to make sure that camera gets clear because you want the clarity. You want to see the big picture, right? You don't want to see a cloudy fuzz of whatever that exists. No, you want the real deal. And in life, that's what we have to be, the real deal, one who's focused on God. Let's move on. Obedience. In order to receive victory, you got to follow God's orders. Sounds simple enough, right? Okay, let's look at Scripture. I'm going to take you all back. This is going to be a familiar passage of Scripture for some, but I'm going to let the Scripture speak to itself. I'm reading back in 1 Samuel. Some instructions were given to Saul from God through the prophet, and here's what happened. And Samuel said, though you are little in your own eyes, and you are not the head of the tribes of Israel, the Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go, devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until there is consumed. First of all, God ain't going to tell you to do something. First of all, he's going to give you instructions on what to do. And then he's going to tell you exactly how to do it. Obedience, or you are with me. He says, so now the question becomes, why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, I did obey the voice of the Lord. How many of you know sometimes that's denial? See, when God tells you to do something, then it can be identified that you didn't do it, and somebody's going to bring it to your correction. First thing you do, I did. Or you say to yourself, see, what had happened was... He said, look, see, what had happened was I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took the spoil, the sheep and oxen, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, watch this, everybody. He said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? This is your favorite scripture. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. The other translation says what? Obedience is better than sacrifice. God didn't need those sacrifices from you. He asked you to be obedient. And you're trying to do something different. He said, and then, if that wasn't enough, and to listen than the fat of the rams. He said, look, for rebellion is the sin of divination and the presumptuous as iniquity and adultery. There's nothing worse than presumptuous sin. And the scripture teaches on that. He says, now here's the consequences. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, guess what? He has also rejected you from being king. Uh-huh. I mean, every time that God tells you to do something, you don't do it, it's going to be consequences you got to pay with that. All right. God is trying to give you something. He's trying to say, look, I want to make you this. I'm going to give you that. And every time you're disobedient, he said, you know what? I tried to give it to you, but you didn't want it because you were disobedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. But Lord, I gave you, Lord, I went up and sang the song for beautifully this morning. Lord, I went up and I did this. And Lord, I did not usher. Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I taught Sunday school? Didn't I do this? God said, I don't want all of that. I just want your obedience. Amen. Right. Amen. I want you to be obedient. What good is it if you're not obedient, but yet you're still doing these things right here? Right. Then he said, look here. He says, but Saul said, now this is what we do. So Saul said, it's saying, I'm hot. I sin. This is what happens because sin is uncomfortable and it makes you feel a certain kind of way. He said, I've sinned. I have transgressed in the commandment of the Lord and your words. He said, why? Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. What? Instead of following what God says, you're going to not do what God told you to do and begin to do what the people told you to do? You tell Aaron, we ain't falling for that no more. I ain't falling for the banana in the tailpipe no more. You didn't already did that to me back in the day. I began to make things out of gold. I didn't build calves and stuff because the people wanted a God that they could worship something tangible. I'm not going to do that again. Imagine this. I'm not going to listen to what God said. I'm listening to what Perry got to say. That's a joke, right? Some of you are like, that's foolishness, right? But that's what's going on. What do you do when you get into a place where the people are wanting one thing, but yet God asks for another? Are you going to begin to acquiesce to what the people want, or are you going to do what God has called you to do? All right. Stop trying to make friends with everybody. Yes. Stop brown-nosing in the church. Yeah. Stop trying to get close to people because you think that's going to make the difference. Yeah. Do what God has called you to do. Yeah. I don't care what the pastors and them tell you what to do. If God ain't called you to do it, you don't do it. Amen. And if God did call you to do it, you do it the way he told you to do it. Yeah. And you don't deviate from the plan. Look at this. He says, and Samuel, he said, now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may bow my head before the Lord. I know I messed up, but please just come with me so I just want to make this thing right. And Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord and the Lord has rejected you from being the king of Israel. Guess what? No, brother, I'm not going with you. When you sin, now you got to deal with that yourself. You laid that bed, now you better go lay in it. You made it, go lay in it now. I'm not going to walk around with you. This is what God is trying to teach us. So you said, no, but first of all, watch this. He didn't ask Samuel what was going on before he began to please the people, but now all of a sudden he wants Samuel to come and pray for him when he messed up. Isn't that something? You always want my opinion on after the fact. Where was you? And you didn't call me before it all went down. You weren't interested in there, but now that it goes down, now all of a sudden, oh, Perry, you know, Samuel turned around and said, man, I'm out of here. Saul upset, took his skirt, took it off, he rolled and tore it. He said, and Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day and given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. How many know that every time that you won't do what God has called you to do, he'll find somebody else to get it done?
That's right.
Let me go back. First of all, he's going to get it done if he want it done from you. But you may end up sacrificing something that's truly great because your inability to just follow orders. I mean, when you enlist in the army, you got to follow orders.
Yes.
And that's just the regular army. I'm talking about God's army. We can see right here that obedience is much better than sacrifice. Can we move on? It says God established a chain of command. Besides this, we have earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. And shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Now, for many of us, we have fathers who may have whooped us. And they told us, Mr. Lee, I'm only whooping you because I love you. Now, it hurt like heck, you know. But to sit there and be like, man, how do you love me and you're going to whoop me this way? But he was telling them that I'm whooping you because I have to instill this discipline in you. In fact, if I didn't whoop you, that would just showcase that I didn't love you. But because I love you, I got to get you this discipline. Now, if we can get that from our earthly father, why can't we accept that from our spiritual father? God is trying to do some wonderful things with us. But we have to be at that place of recognizing chain of command. You cannot jump the chain of command. And for those who have any idea of what military or working on a job is, then you will know the importance of not skipping over somebody to get to something else. Are you all with me? Is this making any sense? He says, now look, we must honor, respect, and forgive the authorities in our lives. Obedience to our elders will place us in a position to be used by God and to help win our battles and to help others. I love the scripture where it talks about honor thy mother and honor thy father. Young people, it didn't say, and if even for older people, it doesn't say honor thy mother and thy father contingent upon if they did something right in your mind. It said this is what we're supposed to do. Even when your mom or dad may have made some mistakes, this is what we do. See, when you're fighting on God, God will give you the ability to forgive these authorities in your life that may have hurt you. We probably can say to ourselves, yeah, our parents wasn't the greatest parents, or they didn't appear to do all the things that we felt they should have done. But guess what? When we felt those hardships, we know that we can still serve a God that teaches us to honor them in spite of those situations and circumstances. But guess what? If we don't reconcile those things, we'll still be holding on to this stuff. Now, the parent can be dead and gone somewhere, but yet we're still mad at them about something they did. Sometimes we're mad at people about the things that they have done, and we don't even remember what they've done to us because it's been that long ago. You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of the old man, and you shall fear your God, your Lord. That's why I don't call you all by your first names. Regardless of whatever position that I may have within the infrastructure of this church, because I respect you, I will call you Miss Such and Such or Mr. Such and Such. I treat you with the honor and respect that I feel that you are due. Young people, I hope you're listening to me. When you tell me to come into church and take off your hat because that's not reverencing God, yes, sir. When you tell me to get off my cell phone because it's distracting worship, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Because I know that you're not doing it just to discipline me. You're trying to teach me because you love me enough to say, guess what? If you keep letting these things distract you, you'll never be able to be a good soldier in the army. Because nothing else is going to matter to you because you're so focused on this. I'll never forget years and years ago, that lady was so focused on her text messages. She was just walking down in the middle of the mall in Minnesota somewhere, and she got to that point and ended up falling in the well, distracted because she wasn't focused. How are you going to go and tell my loved one that I got killed in the battle because you didn't do your job? Because you was on your phone texting, playing around. How are you going to explain to God that you didn't do what he asked you to do because the word was given to you right here, but yet you wasn't paying attention and you wasn't listening? How many of you know God is speaking to us right now?
Amen.
God is encouraging our hearts right now. Amen. This ain't just me talking. God is giving you something that I hadn't even said, but yet you're able to process what's going on because you are allowing God to speak to you. Why? Because you're not distracted.
Yes.
That's where we have to be at in our lives. I love those who come before me because I can learn from you. There's wisdom that's there. Donna has all of the old men in her on her dad's side. They all, man, they look, they're about 100, but they all look like they're 45. But they got the clean gray hair. And I'm like, man, I hope I'm like that when I get old, man. And I just love being around them because they all speak the truth. They all like, man, I just love it. And I'm like, man, can that be me when I get a little older? And I looked in the mirror a couple weeks ago and I was like, well, I got one or two coming in. So maybe I'm on my way. I'm not there yet. But until I get there, I'm going to still treat you with the honor, dignity, and respect that I feel that you are due. People tell me, you ain't got to call me miss. I just, yes, I do. Allow me that. Don't take that away from me. I know who you are. I know whose you are. But allow me to be able to honor you and to appreciate you. I want to be the recipient of the knowledge that you have. Any questions about obedience? I know I feel like I'm in Sunday school right now. All we got to do is do God's word. Just follow his word. We're getting ready to close in a minute. A good soldier will persevere. A good soldier will persevere. How many of you know that God, soldiers are not allowed to pick and choose the battles that they want to fight. How many of y'all realize that? You can't just pick and choose the battles that you want to fight. First of all, God is getting ready to call you. There are a few things that's going to happen when God calls you. First and foremost, he's going to call very common people to do a whole lot of uncommon things. Would you all agree with that? He's going to call very common people like you and I to do uncommon things. We talked earlier about Peter being able to walk on a boat. Now, there's a very common person was a fisherman by trade, but yet somehow God gave him the ability to walk on water. And second of all, when God has called you, you're going to get scared. You're going to get scared. You will be afraid. I love when I look back. This encourages me all the time. When I look back in the Old Testament and God had called Moses, right, to stand before Pharaoh, he said, guess what? Now, I don't speak well enough. And God said, don't worry, I got that covered too. He was afraid that he wasn't going to be able to fulfill the call of God because, guess what? He just didn't believe that he had it in him. I love the fact that God is going to give us reassurance when we need it. There are times when you want to give up because you feel like, man, I can't do it the way that the person before me has done it. But I love the fact when God says, guess what, to Joshua. He said, the same way that I was with Moses, I will be with you also. The same way I did it with him, guess what? I'm going to do it with you. So you ain't got nothing to worry about. I just need you to persevere through this thing by being obedient and staying focused. So look at this. It says, instead of asking, why me, Lord? Try asking, why not I, Lord? Stop asking, Lord, why do I always got to go through these things? Start asking, Lord, if this is what you want for me, if this is going to bring you glory, then guess what? Bring it on. Bring it on. I'm willing to suffer for righteousness' sake. I'm willing to take a wound for my brother because I love him. I'm willing to go through these things in life because I love you. I'm not going to keep complaining and asking God, Lord, take this away. No, Lord, if this is what you got for me, bring it on.
Yeah.
You all said in the scripture that it says he won't give you more than you can bear. If you believe that, then tell him, bring it on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad you're soldiers.
Oh,
I didn't run nobody off, did I? You know you signed a contract. It's a lifelong contract. You confess it with your mouth and you believe it in your heart. Yeah. So you can tear that piece of paper up in the army and you can shred that. But this thing you got with God, uh-uh. I'm just trying to tell you what's real. He said, look, you're chosen to endure trials. Many of you ask, well, why do I got to go through this experience? And why me, Lord? And why am I experiencing these things? And, you know, guess what? God chose you to go through that. There's a reason. I don't know why he does what he does, but he does it. Amen?
Amen.
Stop trying to figure out the why. Just go. When God gives you some orders, don't be asking, well, Lord, how am I going? No, just go and do what he told you to do. It feels better that way. The results are in your favor because you're being obedient to God. God, you think God is going to tell you to go and do something and will allow you to fail at doing it? God ain't never lost. The NBA Finals may be 1-0 right now, but God ain't never lost. He ain't never lost. Ever. Ever. And the only time that the people of God lost is when they began not to do what God had called them to do, regardless of how significant or insignificant they felt that circumstance was. I don't have time to give you the whole Bible. But there's so many instances in which people would have been guaranteed victory, but they didn't. Go look at the battle of AI. Since we're talking about, matter of fact, I just thought of it. Think of the battle of AI and look at what happened. Go back and read those things and see what happened. Look at what could have happened or what should have happened or what would have happened had they just been obedient unto God. Look over your life and feel like, hey, you know what? If I would have just had done this, then maybe I wouldn't be in the situation that I'm in right now. Maybe God has you still in this situation because you hadn't learned from it yet.
Yes.
He says, knowing this, for you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Steadfastness. I need somebody out there that's going to be able to stand ground with me, man. I need somebody that's ready and locked and loaded. And we're going to get into those weapons a little later on. But I need somebody who's going to let steadfastness have its full effect so that we can be perfect and complete. How many know that when you're coming out of boot camp, in other words, when you become a Christian, you ain't going to know all there is to know. But guess what? You got, as she talked about earlier, you're going to end up going to A school. For some of us, they end up sending us to B school. For some of us, they're C school. They even have D school. And then we still go out to the places in which God called us to do, and we're going to learn from all the experiences of the people who's been through all of that before. It's no different from a job. It's no different from a parent. You start off one way, but you end up another way. And hopefully you've learned and matured and grown in all of those experiences, right? And so it's the same thing with this walk in Christ. That you may be perfect, lacking in nothing. As we close, in summary, I believe that when we become believers, we're selected to be in God's army. We are his soldiers, and we must fight continuously for him. You can't pick and choose when you want to fight for the Lord, everybody. You cannot do that. Stop being these, I'm going to hang out on Saturday night and I might come to church Sunday morning. You don't have to be that type of soldier. The devil seeks to harm us and keep us from being good soldiers for God. Now, harm produces issues that will act as barricades. And these issues block our ability to let go of the things that are keeping us defeated. When you think about some people who don't come to church because of that issue, when the reality is that's the time they should be coming to church because of that issue. Because where are you going to get your strength? From the people of God. That's right there. Ain't nothing like being able to come and have you all as cheerleaders when I'm going through something. Look at this, y'all. This is real. When we are plagued by our own issues, then we cannot help others out of their battles. Why? Because a preoccupied soldier is spiritually absent without leave. In other words, you're AWOL. You're just gone. You was here one day, now you're gone tomorrow. Because you're so concerned with what you got going on, now you lose the ability to help somebody else in their fight because of your own issue. Get off yourself for a moment and concern yourself with the needs of other people.
Amen.
I'm not saying neglect yourself, but guess what? We're here together, and we're going to work this thing out together because we're fighting for a God that loves us.
Amen.
Man, we're the only people that can say every time we go into battle, we're going to be victorious. We're the only ones who can say that. A good soldier must fortify himself and move past his own personal issues so that he can dutifully follow God's order and rescue others.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow God, and I'm going to help somebody else along the way. We must conquer the battles in our lives and move past the destructions of the enemy. Now, once we conquer these battles, we will be in a position to help others escape theirs. So before you're trying to go out and help everybody else and what their issues are, you need to look at God and say, Lord, I need you to help me first.
Amen.
And sometimes that's what happens. We're so consumed with trying to help this sister or this brother when the reality is, Lord, we need to look in the mirror. Because you ain't no good to try to help. Who are you to try to help them and yet you still got your issue? How are you going to tell somebody you might need to stop drinking when you still do the same thing? I'm going to stop right there. Lord, we just thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for what you've done. We just can hope and pray that this message has somehow penetrated our hearts, oh God. A very short message, but very succinct and detailed, I hope and presume, O Heavenly Father. And so I'm asking now that you, as we meditate, O God, on what was said this morning, O God, just come in and touch our hearts, O God, in ways that we can't fathom, O God. There are many of us who, per our own admission, O God, have already enlisted in this army, O God, and we've been fighting in this battle for such a long time. But then there are others, O God, who are brand new to this. And maybe there's even some who have yet to enlist. And so I'm asking that you touch those people as well, O God. If they have yet to even enlist, O God, I'm asking that you allow them, give them the courage and the fortitude to stand forward and make today the day that they want to come, O God. And then I ask those who just need encouragement, O God, because they feel like they're on the battlefield by themselves, to reach them and touch them in such ways that they can't even fathom. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.